Those were jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I feel like there's a man looking over my shoulder today. Mike, I'm getting a little bit of feedback in my headset here. There you go. Thank you, man. Why do I feel like there's a guy looking over my shoulder today? Oh my goodness! I gotta be quiet. I'm in a getaway with my wife here for our 41st anniversary. I hope we make 42, because she's not real pleased I'm doing the show this morning. She said we're supposed to be on vacation, relax. I said, listen, man, my eyes popped open at 5 o'clock. It's what I do. We'll take a nap afterwards, whatever. Let it never be said that we didn't go to the nth degree to try to bring you a good show. Got John Diamond coming up with us later on. I was thinking, what would it be like if we had a Supreme Court made up of just common everyday lawyers? What if we had Lynn Wood on the Supreme Court? What if we had Sidney Powell on the Supreme Court? Why do we end up with these government hacks who work their way up through the judicial system? And by the way, wasn't it Obama or John Roberts who told us there's no such thing as an Obama judge or a Clinton judge or a Trump judge? They're all just honest guys. I want to encourage you, if it gets to the Supreme Court and if too many people have been threatened to be killed or whatever they do, Here's the numbers, boys, at the Supreme Court. We know that Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett worked for George Bush during the last election recount. You knew that, don't you? They were on George Bush's team. Two of the Supreme Court justices now, Coney Barrett, Kavanaugh, both were part of George Bush's team. So we got them. We got Clarence Thomas. We've got Gorsuch, we think, right? We got Sam Alito. Can you count to five? We haven't even counted Roberts. We don't even need Roberts. If this thing goes to the Supreme Court, we're going to feel pretty good that they put Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court back in November before this whole thing happened. Hey, boys and girls. Hey, got my shirt on today. I ain't wearing no mask. We went to the restaurant last night, Michelle and I almost walked out. Because when we walked in, signs everywhere. This is this place we're staying. It's a beautiful place. We walked in the restaurant, and what did the signs say? Masks. And the girl came up to me and says, sir, you have to have a mask. I said, I don't wear masks. She says, well, you have to have a mask. Just wear it to your table. I said, what? She says, yes, please, just wear it to your table. That was like 8 steps. She said, when you get to your table, you can take it off. What is going on? What is going on when people know it doesn't work, and yet they continue to force us to do it? Or better yet, it goes back to that virtue signaling, doesn't it? I'm a good guy. I care about your health, so I'm going to wear a mask, even though it doesn't work. I'm wound up this morning, even though it is my vacation. John Diamond coming up. I had to put this on to look at my glasses here. I got to look at something here. Four things I got to show you. Hey, Mark Trump. Well, I'll come to you in a second, Mark. Hang on. December 3rd, mark that down. I just don't know where. We think that's when Kyle Rittenhouse is being arraigned in Wisconsin. We think maybe we're going to make a trip to Wisconsin, although I don't know. Write it down, okay? If you can make it, be ready for it. December 12th is the second MAGA march in Washington, D.C. We think we're gone. We don't know for sure, but mark it down and make plans. And if you're flying, you can probably get a pretty good cheap flight into one of the airports there in D.C. We'll pick you up. We'll figure out how to get you there. Probably get a pretty good cheap flight right now. And listen, get flight insurance. That way, if you can't have to cancel it, you can cancel it. December 3rd, December 12th. Boy, New Year's running down hard on us, isn't it? Running down hard. I got a couple great things. We're going to win. I got a lamp. I got a makeshift studio here today. We're going to win. Do you guys realize that? Do you realize we're going to win? But you know we're going to win without a fight? I'm sorry. We're not going to win without a fight. You understand that, don't you?
Amen.
Do you understand that?
We are going to win.
I'm going to show you some stuff here real quickly. And then John Diamond's going to join us and enlighten us a bit more. I'm so glad that Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell are private attorneys. They're not paid off by anybody. They're not in anybody's pocket. They're not part of they have no allegiance to a political party. Folks, there's all kinds of stuff that's popping up right now. I believe the deep state is absolutely, unbelievably panicked. That's why I tell you, hold on to your, tighten your belt, earn your meal money. Hold on to your pants. Something crazy is getting ready to happen. I was talking to my wife as we were coming up here yesterday. I was listening to, I'm going to play a segment of it here, by the way, of the guy who was known as, the guy who started Overstock.com. Overstock, you guys know that website, don't you? It's $2 billion. He said he built it into a $2 billion company, Overstock.com.
Patrick Byrne.
Thank you, Vinny. Patrick Byrne said he's never voted for a Republican. He's a libertarian. Never voted for a Republican or a Democrat in his life. And he's all over. See, there's guys like Mark Trump out there who are what we call computer geeks. I don't know if I'd call you that, Mark. But by the millions right now, they're grabbing all this election data and they're going down through it. They're studying where the votes came from, where the trail, the electronic trail, all these ballots, and they're finding out. They got it nailed. Patrick Byrne's got it nailed. We'll play that here in a second. But Mark, I was listening to, as Michelle and I were coming up this way yesterday, I was listening to something on my headphones. Yeah, I did that in the car, sorry. And something popped out at me. The left loves silence, science, don't they? They love science they can manipulate. Like global warming science, homo sex, makeup science. They love science. They love to call us science deniers. Hey, Mark Trump, help me out here a minute. Is there such a thing as computer science? Computer science, Mark. Isn't it possible? Help me out again here, Mark. Isn't it so that if done properly, every vote can be followed? Just like a DNA strand, there will be a custody of every vote that was ever. Am I right, Mark? Is that what computer science would show us, Mark?
Digital. Every digital vote. Anything outside the digital system. So if an envelope got scanned, that hard copy would become digital. Okay. So anywhere it's outside the system, like let's say 4 a.m. in the morning, when 35,000 votes show up at your precinct without any labels on the envelopes, those are outside the digital system. Mm-hmm. Then they run them through their machine without the codes on them. They got each ballot has codes. So what they did is they put a little strip of tape over the code reader, and the ballot machine accepted it anyway with a fault, but they pushed it through anyway. 35,000 of them in every precinct.
So Mark, that would be messing with science, wouldn't it, Mark? Wouldn't that show some outside intervention into the process, Mark, in order for that to happen?
Not if you create data for science. See, if you go before science. I know, that's what they did. They tried to do it outside science to create science. You see, Coach, they tried to create truth from something outside They've manipulated the data. It's like if you're studying the habitat and you go and put a bunch of salt licks all over the countryside. Well, that's not natural feeding for deer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not natural. That's not science. So then they're filming it and you don't see it. Or maybe National Geographic is filming all these fish being caught. But maybe they're not being caught. Maybe it's just weights underwater and a bunch of people fighting up on the deck and then they lose their weight. So where's the science behind anything you see on TV?
So Mark, are we maybe they can't tell exactly, follow exactly, but is the manipulation of the computer science evident or not?
Yes. And it's just like everything. You got to invest energy into the data set, which is deep. The more you go deep, one layer deeper is a multiplier effort. Just because of all the people associated.
Folks, listen, this is why we're going to win. This is why we're going to win, because the evidence is going to come out. Listen,
The data is there.
The data is there.
They just got to push it through.
They got to mine
it. The reason the Democrats and Republicans fell subject to all of this over the previous elections is they knew it was too big of a wheel to be changed. It's just too big for anybody to fix.
Mm-hmm. But Mark.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Larry.
And Mark, I truly do believe the data is there. I believe at least whatever percentage of all these accusations are accurate. There's no doubt in my mind about that. What concerns me is even if the data being there, it's up to us to make the data become relevant. If we don't get active, if we don't do our part, right. All that data that's on our side doesn't mean jack squat.
Well, of course not. Exactly. But here's the point that I want to make. Hey, Mike, what's his name? The Overstock guy. I want us to watch a couple minutes of this, folks. I want you to watch this. Because he gets it, man. He gets it. And Larry, you're exactly right. But see, these guys are at work. These people out there are at work on our side. Now, folks, here's the way that I see it. Okay. They're going to have to, the other side is going, the burden of proof, folks, now falls on the other side. See, when this evidence is shown that it's been manipulated, here's how they do it. We don't know if they did it in this particular instance, but this is when we present our evidence, this is how it was done. It's the burden of proof now falls on them to show that that's not how it was done. And they can't unprove what is a science. That's the way that I understand it, right? So they have got the goods on what they've done. And when the evidence is produced, the other side's going to have to say, no, that's not true. And I don't think you're going to, Mark, I'm just a helmet head. But that's the way I see this thing going. Now, Mike, if you can, real quick, pull up the guy. I can't remember his name. Patrick. Go ahead.
One more note. The pain of Trump being in office 4 more years, what would cause them to stop working, to stop proving, to stop? What would cause the Democrats to flip and say, go ahead, you got it? It's because the pain of the persecution and prosecution would have to be greater than letting Trump be in there 4 years. In other words, the heads it's going to roll.
Mm-hmm.
Have to be a greater impact of the Dems. So you got law and they're pushing the case forward. What happens whenever they settle? So what if the Democrats settle and say, okay, you win? Will Trump continue?
Yeah. Boy, that's a great question, because that's really what it's going to come down to. And they're going to pin down individuals and get them to flip. That's the way I see it.
Or like what Bobby said, what if Biden don't make it through December?
Yeah.
Well, wow. I guess you win, Trump. We don't got to do all this research. And Trump has a lot of things he's never prosecuted. He said, I'm going to let that go.
Yeah,
but he made a deal.
Mm-hmm.
So Trump's going to make a deal is what I think. Something's going to happen. There's going to be – he'll get some impact out of it. But what if they settle? I'm just throwing that out.
Okay, so let's listen to the Overstock guy. I forgot you, John Diamond. I promise. Let's listen to the Overstock guy here real quick.
Forensically, do we have enough evidence right now? If you're not an attorney, but if you went and spoke to the judge, you said this election was rigged, it was manipulated. Do you have enough evidence right now?
100%.
100%.
I've had it for, I've had that evidence for 16, 17 days. It's a matter of teaching the lawyers.
Right.
And these lawyers are smart and wonderful. And right. I don't work for Sydney or for Rudy or for his mayor. I'm a concerned citizen posted up with a command base.
Yes, sir.
And a bunch of these people getting this, I'm making it available to the press and to the lawyers who want it is how this is working. So I pay my own way. It's 100. I could get in front of a judge and in 20 minutes, if I could bring in some hackers and explain stuff in my own language, there's no judge, honest judge in America who wouldn't get it. It's open and shut. The only question at this point is the legal process. And can the legal process, the bad guys are trying to pour cement over this whole election,
right,
and bury it before any of this stuff gets out. But it's open and shut that this happened on a massive scale.
Okay, Mike, you can shut that down. Folks, hey, Jared, I don't know if we've posted that video or not. I think I asked you to. I'm not blaming you. If not, get that up because it's a really, really good video. And then before we bring on John Diamond, hey, Mike, let's go to Lynn Wood. Again, remember, Lynn Wood is a private attorney, folks. He's a private attorney, okay? He's not worked his way up through the governmental Republican machine to work his way to the top. He hasn't. He's a guy on the outside, along with Sydney, on the outside, looking at what's going on, saying, we're going to clean this mess up. We can't trust the Department of Justice. We can't trust the FBI. As Larry said, we the people, we're going to have to do this. We're going to have to do this heavy lifting. All the evidence is out there for us. We cannot allow them to look the other way. We just cannot allow them to look the other way. Now, hang on real quickly. Here's another reason why I'm encouraged. It's going to be, it's right now, it's 5-4. If John Roberts continues to flip, it's 5-4. But if John Roberts sees that it's going to be 5-4, he ain't going to be 5-4. It's going to be 6-3. It's going to be 6-3, folks. And when it goes to the Supreme Court, very, very clear stuff like they have not followed the law. This is not going to be hard. It's not going to be hard. I'm telling you. Go ahead. Hey, Mike, you can put Lynn Wood at about time and a half, and that'll speed it up a little bit. But this is Lynn Wood. And listen, folks, this guy ain't messing around. He ain't putting his reputation on the line. He ain't putting his job on the line saying this stuff. They got the goods. By the way, filing is going to be done today in Georgia. They say the big one's going to be released today in Georgia. Go ahead, Mike. Lynn Wood being interviewed by, I can't remember, Judge Jeanine, I think maybe, and put it in about time and a half. Let's listen to what he has to say.
One of the most brilliant legal minds in the country. You may know him from the Covington school case, the Catholic school case, Nicholas Sandman, the young teenager who wore a MAGA hat to a rally in Washington and was then targeted by the left and then accused of aggressively going after an individual who was a minority when it turned out to be just the opposite. Lynn Wood representing him and getting successful verdicts against the CNN and the Washington Post. And I suspect that the rest of the media will fold as he continues with that lawsuit. But right now, Lynn has filed a case in the state of Georgia where he is a resident. Lynn, are you with us this morning?
I am with you, Judge Jeanine. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for being with us. I know how busy you are, and we very much appreciate your time. Now, you made a decision individually to sue as a resident of Georgia and as an elector, and the basis of your lawsuit had to do with, I understand, the Secretary of State not having the legal authority, certainly not the constitutional authority, to change the election law to allow for mail-in ballots. Am I wrong?
No, as usual, Judge Jeanine, you're right. That's the essence of our case. The Secretary of State's agreement with the Democratic Party in March of this year was not made by the state legislature. That violates the laws applicable to a federal election in a state. It can't be done. The election in Georgia was unlawful. They're going to have a do-over, not for the presidency. That can be decided by the Electoral College, selected by the legislature, but there's going to have to be a new down-ballot vote in January. We're going to have a legal election before this election cycle is over. We haven't had one in Georgia yet.
All right. So what, of course, you're referencing is the historic election about to take place in January, where Loeffler and Perdue are now fighting for their seats in the Senate, which, of course, will tip the scales in this country forever if the Democrats are able to take those two seats. But let's talk about President Trump. And the whole idea my listeners have been calling and asking about, what is there enough time and what would it look like to get any of these cases where judges and secretaries of states have violated Article 1, Section 4 of the Constitution and changed the election law on their own? Will that, Lynn, ever get to the United States Supreme Court?
Yes. In fact, the judge in my case denied a motion for a temporary injunction with respect to the recount. We're going to be filing a notice of appeal on Monday to the 11th Circuit. The recount was unlawful because it was based on an unlawful vote on November the 3rd. So the issue in my case is going to find its way to the 11th Circuit by notice of appeal on Monday. So we're going to get the Supreme Court at some point in the next, I believe, several days to address this issue via the 11th Circuit. So we've got the legal mechanism in place. But let me say this, Judge Jeanine. This election is not going to be decided by the courts necessarily. It's not going to be decided by the legislatures necessarily. Everybody's got a role to play. This election is going to be decided by we the people. We the people voted probably in the neighborhood of 80 million votes for Donald Trump, probably in the neighborhood of 410 electoral votes. We the people are going to take action, and we the people are going to make sure that the president that we elected is sworn in on January 20th. That's going to be Donald J. Trump.
All right. And, of course, talking to Lynn Wood, the famed attorney from Atlanta, Georgia. But, Lynn, how does that happen? You know, you say 410 electoral college votes and you say 80 million people, but that doesn't seem to be a fact right now.
It will be a fact in due time. There's going to be a lawsuit filed, I believe, this week in Georgia. On behalf of the president, and that lawsuit is going to expose in detail the fraud that was perpetrated on the voters of Georgia and the voters of this country. It's going to take a little patience. Remember, it was 37 days for Gore Bush.
Right.
We're about at the halfway mark. We've got plenty of time. The bottom line is, Judge Jeanine, what you're hearing from the mainstream media is a lie. When they tell you, as you mentioned, that somehow Donald Trump's trying to steal the election, that's a lie. The reverse is true. They're trying to steal the election. They've been caught. They're not going to get away with it. The people in this country are not going to tolerate it. Joe Biden will never be president of the United States. Never.
Wow. Well, of course, talking to Lynn Wood, a famed attorney. And Lynn, I know how busy you are, and I promised to let you go after a few minutes. But I also want to bring to my listeners' attention the fact that you are representing Kyle Rittenhouse, and AOC, the congresswoman from New York, slammed his release on a $2 million bond, saying that it is about the protection of white supremacy baked deep in our carceral system, and that it's about law and disorder, a double standard because he's white. What is your response to that, Lynn?
Pardon my language. The hell with AOC. She's a liar. She's the one that's the racist. She's the one trying to destroy our country. She's not going to get away with it either. Kyle Rittenhouse went there to help people. He was viciously attacked, and he exercised his inherent right of self-defense. We the people got him out of jail. We the people raised $2 million in cash to free that boy. He was a political prisoner. AOC thinks she's going to use him to somehow create more trouble in this country. Trouble is coming AOC's way. Stay tuned.
Well, and of course, you mean political, and certainly not more than that.
I do mean political because, listen, I don't advocate. I would never be a party to violence. I believe, though, that there is civil disobedience. Mm-hmm. It was exercised by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was out of Georgia. The devil came to Georgia on November the 11th, Judge Jeanine. The devil's getting ready to get run out of Georgia. Stay tuned this week. The devil's going to be on the run in Georgia.
All right. Lynn Wood, famed attorney. Lynn, thank you so much for your time. Always.
All right. Huh? Does that give you a little bit of encouragement in your heart or what? Huh? You know, you just ask yourself over and over, where are the Christian attorneys in America that could be banding together
Amen.
To do this, huh?
Amen.
Well, we've been losing to the left so long, and
we're not going to lose anymore, bro.
No, we're not going to lose anymore because I got great hope in the sky, man. I got great hope. Okay, listen, we could go on and on. We haven't done much spiritual stuff here this morning. We had a great prayer session yesterday. It was all good, and I asked John Diamond if he would come in today because John's got a plan. And so I'm going to kind of step back here a little bit. Hey, I'm still married. My wife hadn't left me yet, although she's up over there giving me the Bushy's cute little thing. 41 Coach, years. Yeah. Yeah, Joe.
I got a little bit of tidbit news I got yesterday. I still have my little tentacles in the feds. And I got called by a buddy of mine saying that all lower line federal agencies, like the marshals, that Bureau of Prisons, Customs, ATF, some FBI, they're all getting shots this coming week. Since it was approved that the health services approved it to be distributed, all this week, coming week here, they're going to be getting, because they deal with people, man, foreign and domestic.
Oh, Joseph, brothers, we got to stand up, man. We got to stand up. What did Lynn Wood say? We the people are going to win this. We the people are. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah. Can I have 2 minutes? You know, you talked about the.
Just start. Just go. 2 minutes. Go.
Okay. It's up to us. We the people. And you know, I've got the True the Vote effort going on, and I just as I was watching that video, Stop the Lies is going to be a companion. It's going to be a dual effort. True the Vote and Stop the Lies are going to be the posters we're going to have. And I've been wondering, where's the best place to hold our little events and stuff? It's going to be in front of the mainstream media outlets like the TV stations, radio stations.
That's a good move, brother. That's a good move.
That's what we're going to be doing. And if, folks, we need everybody on deck, please, please, yes, please come in and join us and help us with this.
Amen, Larry. Amen. Come on in, John Diamond. Take it over, Ben.
Hey, Coach. I'm glad to see everything falling into place. Like you said, I think we're going to win. It's just going to take we the people to
I don't think we are.
To stand hey, listen, up, listen, you know, not only listen, for our constitutional rights.
Hey, John, listen, quit thinking. We're not going to think we're going to win. We're believing we're going to win. We're going to believe we're going to win. I'm tired of thinking about it. We're going to win. I'm believing we're going to win. All right, go ahead, John. I'm sorry. Hey, Mike, I can't.
No, I know no, I agree. Yeah.
I'm not beating on you. I'm just words matter, fellas. Words matter. That's why they keep changing the words on us because the words matter. Go ahead, bud. Is John frozen up? There you go. There you go.
Be starting what I. What... Can you hear me, Mike?
He's breaking up bad on this
yeah.
end.
Yeah, he's really breaking up bad okay. on my end too, John. You're usually pretty. You're hey, usually let me try to clear, man. I didn't hear anything.
Hey,
he
let
said
me
that,
change
Mike.
Internet connections. Go ahead and take it back over. Hey, Mike, can you show that video link I showed you? I sent you about New York City.
Okay, well, Mike's getting that ready. Anybody got anything they want to say? Come on in and say it now. Come on in now.
Changed internet connections. Let me know if this one's bad.
I guess I don't know. I'm feeling kind of guilty, Coach.
Go ahead.
But here we got this long weekend, and I don't know. I just got it. I feel like we ought to be doing something this weekend, and I don't know.
I think Cindy Powell's she's going to drop a bomb today. And we can eat some turkey tomorrow and tell all of our neighbors, all of our loved ones who are on the other team. You're going to be able to say, see, see. So tomorrow is going to be awaken the people around you day. That's the way I see it. And we'll come back Friday swinging for the fences. Go ahead, Mike.
I know around here. We have like Costco and Sam's and all that have long lines outside.
Yes, it's building again, brother. Hey, Joseph, it's the same thing. It's our fault for allowing these lies to continue. We have got to defy. We have got to say, I ain't wearing no mask. I'm not wearing it. I'm not going to do that. My body, my choice. Folks, I want to ask you this. I want you to think about this. In a private business, now, we're talking about a private business because everybody says, well, you know, we have to let private businesses do whatever they want to. Okay, so listen, if I walked into a private business, I walked into my local Kroger's and they said, sorry, sir, no hats in here. You're not allowed to wear a hat in here. Or how about this? I'm in there and they make me take my hat off. Now I say, well, I don't want to take them. They say, well, we don't like that cross. We don't like that. They wouldn't be able to pull that off, even though it's a private business. They can't do that. Folks, even though it's a private business, they can't take away your constitutional right. You have a right to eat food. You have a right to go into Kroger's, and they can't make you put anything on anymore. They can make you take something off. They can't do that. Let's understand how private rights work. Yes, go.
Coach, Kroger and whatever like that are they're not private businesses. No. They're public.
They are.
A private business, you know, like a private club, can set whatever rules that they want to set to get into the place. You got to wear tassels on your wrists or something. You know, stuff like that. And so they are public. They are public.
They're public. They're not private, baby.
What we need to do, Coach, we need to do a better job than what we did with the slogan, ignore Roe versus Wade.
Boy.
We need to ignore mask. Last night, brother, I cooked two trash can turkeys in the middle of a public park with 15,000 looms of light, went live video Facebook, told them we are ignoring any kind of mask edict. We showed our games on the big screen. We had over 100 people there, brother. Feasting in the park and not one mask.
Amen, baby. Amen. Go ahead, Mike, play that video.
defying the governor's lockdown orders. Wait till you see what they did in the streets. We're going to show you the video in a moment. Before I do, if this is your first time at the Next News Network, go ahead and hit the red button down below to subscribe and then hit that notification
bell. Oh, I hate it when he does that.
Every day. 100% Fed Up reports that the anti-lockdown protests are getting bigger and louder. New York City is the site of a large rally to end the lockdowns because the cure can't be worse than the virus. New York City is dying with the lockdown of schools and small businesses. Restaurants, bars, small shops that were once thriving are closing because they cannot survive the extended lockdown. Angry New Yorkers took to the streets over the weekend to protest the extended shuttering of the city. Protesters marched in the street with "No More Lockdown" sign. Watch this. They also shouted, "We will not comply." Watch. My bad. Yeah, they were chanting, "Kick Cuomo out." And then they shouted, "We will not comply." Watch. They state here that the protesters ended up at the Washington Square Park, where they symbolically burned their masks. Watch.
Burn the mask! 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 Burn the mask!
One thing that you will notice that's not burning are the local businesses around this protest. Clearly, this is what a peaceful protest should look like, and these people are fed up. Comment below. We'll see you at the next report for the Next News Network. I'm Gary Franchi. Thank you for watching that report. Did you
come on in, John, if you're back with
I'm proud of my city now, coach.
Hey, man. We got hope, man. Keep hope alive.
Things hey, can you guys hear me good now?
Yes, we hear you.
All right,
you
good.
Well.
Yeah, I had to switch it.
Go ahead, John.
Hey, what I want to share with you, and I'm gonna make this quick for your viewers, because I'm gonna make another video that explains this in more detail to people who've never heard before. But what we're doing, we're starting the Ecclesia in Action project, and it's really based off of two things: one, Romans 13, that teaches basically everybody should be obedient to God, including government, and I've done an entire series on that. And then I did a teaching on the Ecclesia and what the Ecclesia really is. I just did a show with Tim Brown on Sons of Liberty Monday morning, and the people just absolutely ate it up because they're like, man, we've never heard this before. But basically what an Ecclesia is, when Jesus said, all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth, then he said, I'm giving you that authority. I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom, so you will go to the gates of the city, and then you will declare my word. You will have the authority to declare what is lawful and what is unlawful. That is what we're supposed to be doing. That's what they did in the early church. Acts 17 even tells us that they went there and said, we don't have to obey the orders of Caesar, because there's another king. His name's Jesus. So there's a king that outranks Caesar. That's consistent with Romans 13. And as the Ecclesia, we are supposed to be going to the gates of the city and telling them that we're supposed to be coming in the name of Christ and saying, thus saith the Lord. We're supposed to say, you know, abortion is murder. We're supposed to be saying, you're violating our constitutional rights,
John.
And the American John, people need to start to do this. We need to start.
So yeah. In Matthew, he said, go ye into all the world, right? And teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Our job, the Great Commission, is not to go and get people saved, although we want to do that. Our commission is to go and to teach them all things I've taught you. That's our, go into all the world and teach them all I've commanded you. That is what the Ecclesia is supposed to be doing, confronting government when government is out of whack, confronting the church when the church is out of whack. Confront the Ecclesia is about confrontation, my friends. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, and it's the difference between preaching the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of salvation is about the only thing the church does right, but even though they won't even leave the four walls of their church to do that, but the gospel of the kingdom is basically the idea that, that Christ is king, lawgiver, and judge, and that we're supposed to go into all our society. You know, I even went to my denominational president recently, and I said, the church is failing. I said, I'm called to be an outreach minister and a teacher. And I said, you want to know the two things that the church doesn't hire? Outreach ministers and teachers. I said, you're violating the Great Commission, because Jesus said, go, that's outreach, and teach. All you do is hire pastors. You Jesus said, we are the light of the world. You don't hide the light under the bushel. We build million-dollar buildings to hide the light, right? Big that bushel. Didn't exist for the first 300 years of Christianity. We spend all our time and all our money building bushels, million-dollar bushels. I'm getting ready to write an article on this for Bradley Dean. We build million-dollar bushels to hide the light, and then we can't even afford to send people out. So what we're doing, what you're doing, what Bradley's doing, you know, we're starting these ministries that'll actually take the light outside the four walls of the church. Will not be so bound down with this tradition. Amen. So what we're encouraging people to do, and I know many of your people in your queue have already done this, and I'm going to show you three examples of what the church is supposed to be doing. When people do this and they get it recorded at their city council of them or state government or whatever, when they go there and they record that, send that to me and I will post. I'm going to have a whole YouTube playlist on here called Ecclesia in Action to show about 3-4 minute videos of Christians who are actually being the salt and the light, Christians who are actually going out there and doing what Christ told them to do. And hopefully not only that'll start a movement, but it'll actually give other people the courage that when they understand Romans 13, when they understand Matthew 16 and what the ecclesia is, when they understand what the early church did, they're like, this is it. This is what we're supposed to do. So John, I want to give the viewers three examples here of an ecclesia in action.
Let me jump in there real quick before you play those, folks.
Go ahead.
Listen, I think it's important we understand the difference between what we would call mercy ministry and prophetic ministry. They're not the same. Now, let me use this as an example. One of the things we used to do here at Pass the Salt, we haven't done it in a while because our bread supplies, we don't have the same access to the bread that we did. We used to do these free bread giveaways. We would go out and we'd park the truck down on the corner and we'd put up signed free bread, and people would come from everywhere to get free bread. And it was a great Christian outreach. I mean, it really was. You got a chance to share the gospel and you were feeding people and everybody felt good about it. But I would always be somewhat conflicted when I'm doing that, because the people coming to us, they are in need. Because why? They're living a lifestyle that violates the law of God. Many of them aren't married. They're living together and they're not married. And so I'm feeding bread to them, feeding their bellies, when in fact I ought to be feeding the gospel of truth to them. How living together is destroying you. It's destroying your family. We see people that are going around and they don't have money. They have to come and they got to get bread from us because they don't have money to get a good car. Why don't they have money to get a good car? Well, because you're wasting it on lottery tickets and alcohol and drugs. See, that is the prophetic side of it. And we can't just do mercy. We just can't. My late mother said, as you all have heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Friends, the prophetic ministry is an ounce of prevention, and we don't teach that hardly at all anymore. Go ahead, John.
No, absolutely, and that's what we've lost in this country is that idea that the gospel and God's word is supposed to prevent all of this stuff. That's what the salt and the light is. We're supposed to prevent darkness. We're supposed to prevent things from spoiling. That's what salt does, mm-hmm. and I think Christ is going to come back. There's a whole lot of worthless churches out there, to be quite honest with you. They're the salt that has lost their saltiness, and they're no right. good to be nothing but thrown under. I mean, it just amazes me that people give money, millions and billions of dollars, to these churches, so all they're doing is building their own kingdom, and all they're doing is building these bushels to hide the light in, rather than giving to you and Bradley Dean and Mike Spaulding and me. I mean, it's just amazing that
They declared themselves non-essential. Hey, John, can we get to the video? I don't want to run out of time here on you.
No go, no gospel.
Yeah, I'm going to show you three examples of the ecclesia in action. And I want people to do this themselves. Go to their city councils, go to their state of representatives, go to their Congress. And if you get yourself captured on video declaring, you know, God's word or constitutional law, I want you to send it to me, and I'm going to create a video just like we've got called Ecclesia in Action, and we're going to post that on our site. Here's the first one, me here in Erie, when they were trying to pass a ban on transgender conversion. And I went in there and told them, you're not going to tell me what I can and cannot say. You're not going to suppress my God-given constitutional rights with your little petty tyrant bans. So I was interviewed on the local news. Go ahead and play that, Mike.
Changing a person's sexual orientation. Council members today passed an ordinance prohibiting conversion therapy. Jameson Hixenbaugh spoke to both sides of the issue to get their thoughts on the vote.
What you would be doing is illegal, and it is also a violation of federal law.
At City Hall, the practice of conversion therapy is creating mixed reaction.
We have something that is fine-tuned, it's legal, and we should support it for the sake of liberty and for the sake of our children.
On Wednesday, Erie City Council members approved an ordinance that prohibits mental health practitioners from conducting conversion therapy on a minor. The practice attempts to change the sexual orientation or gender identity of members within the LGBTQ community.
We have decades worth of evidence among specialists in these fields to show that it is not the correct way to engage in therapy with LGBTQ youth.
Reverend Rich McCarty supports the ban, stating that it does not dictate what pastors can discuss with their congregation. He says this type of therapy can lead to anxiety, depression, and suicide.
What we need to be doing is helping LGBTQ youth grow up like any other youth so that when they come into their adulthood, they can make informed, conscientious decisions about how they identify, who they want to be, and how they live their life.
But conversion therapist counselor Dr. John Diamond calls the ban unconstitutional.
The LBG community is essentially trying to suppress our God-given constitutional rights of freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And again, that's illegal and that's unconstitutional.
Dr. Diamond says this type of therapy is effective.
There are many people who have come out of the homosexual, transgender lifestyle. I have some good friends who have come out of that, and they would admit that they were trapped in that and they saw no way out.
While McCarty praises City Council for their unanimous decision, Diamond says he plans to file a lawsuit against City Council for violating his civil rights. For Erie News Now, I'm Jameson Hixenbaugh reporting.
John, you got to get yourself one of those collars. You need one of those collars.
And there you go, right there. And I don't know if you heard this. I showed up church that Sunday morning, and I said, you realize these guys are just pedophiles that just want to prey on your children, right? And they just look at you like, I said, all these guys are just pedophiles, and you have to understand that. Well, I don't know if you heard this or not, but we contacted American Family Association here in Pennsylvania. They worked with the Liberty Council. Liberty Council filed lawsuits against this. Federal court just ruled Friday that these therapy bans are unconstitutional. So they were unconstitutional to begin with. I was not going to comply with them regardless of what their law said or regardless of what their ordinance said. And we just got vindicated by a federal court on Friday. So that's one thing that we need to be doing, not only speaking against it, but actually filing lawsuits. That's what the appeal of heaven is. You know, amen. First you take it here on earth, and then you take it to heaven.
John, let's let somebody come right in here. Somebody else want to
let
come
me show
on
you one more. Most of you guys already know this guy, Flip Benham.
Hang on a second. I don't know why John and I have a delay. I don't usually dealing with this. So sorry, John, if it sounds like I'm walking on you. Let's give somebody a chance to get in.
I want to come in. What John did there also demonstrates and reinforces how the psychological industry is bogus. These mental health diagnoses are based on social and political issues of the day. Need I remind everybody that homosexuality was a mental disorder until 1973. And that was taken out of the psychological Bible, not by science, but by social and political pressure.
There you go, brother. There you go. We got to stand up against somebody else. Come on in.
I bet Fauci has something to do with that.
Well, we know, listen, folks, we know that for the most part, most of those scientists are atheistic. Most of them are. There's some that aren't. But we know that in the federal government, for the most part, atheistic scientists work their way up the ladder. Why are they able to work their way up the ladder? Because, again, they've lied to us that there's a separation between the church and state. And because of that, if you have any faith or express any real faith in Christianity, in Christ, and any type of God, you're not welcome at the table. This is what we, the church, the ecclesia, as John, ecclesia, as John would say, what we've permitted to happen is we permitted them, with our silence, we have permitted them to silence the voice of God. Come on in, somebody.
Coach, only the truth can set people free.
Right.
And what John did right there, he got on camera and he spoke the truth. We have to speak truth wherever we're at, Coach. Even my little platform on my job, my little platform when I'm at a convenience store, when I look at watch people walking in and have an opportunity. We have great moments, or they come from great opportunities, people. We have to speak truth.
Amen, Randy. Amen.
Yes, Randy.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Coach, just what you just said, will you say that again? That was a mic drop, what you said a few minutes ago, just before Randy. Say that again.
Well, that's hard to say because that came from the Holy Spirit, actually, Glenn, but I'll try to remember exactly what the point I was making is through our silence, we have allowed the mouth of God to be silent. They've told us that there's a separation between the church and state, which really was an eviction notice to Christ, to Christianity, to Almighty God. The federal government, the courts, issued an eviction order to God saying, you are not welcome, like going into Kroger's. You got to take off your mask, right? You are not allowed to come in here. If you're going to come in here and you're going to talk about God, you are not welcome at this table. So what we have is atheistic doctors have made their ways up the ladder. Why? Because they fall into the anti-Christ, anti-God agenda of the kings of this earth who are conspiring against the Lord and the anointed. So if they are able to silence my voice, they silence the voice of God. Can't you see this, folks?
Amen.
That's the battle we're fighting.
Amen. I can attest to that as a therapist. You're going against everybody. They don't want to hear anything about God or anything that has to do with righteousness and doing things right.
Well, Myra, not only that, Myra, they tell you it's illegal to talk about it, Myra. That's how they get it. Myra, you're talking about Jesus. You're not allowed to talk about that, Myra. You're not allowed to talk. We're going to have to get rid of you. You're not allowed to talk about. See, do you understand what they've done to us? They've silenced the mouth of God because they've scared us and silenced our voice. Sorry, Myra.
And what do? We run. We go form our own little group. All my friends are leaving Facebook because of the persecution.
Yes.
I'm saying.
Let's do it.
I'm staying. I'm not going to Parler. I'm not going to MeWe. I can't deal with all that stuff. I'm going to stay on Facebook, and I'm going to poke the giant. And every time I get a chance, because I'm not on there to talk to my grandkids and post cat pictures.
Amen.
Coach.
Yes.
Yesterday, I went to our local barber shop over here, so it was my turn to sit in a chair, and just happened, you hear that, Mike, or Mark, I sit in the chair, and here comes the mayor of the city comes in, and everybody's talking about the election, and I spoke up, I said, we need to bring the black robe preachers back in. Step up with the churches. And the mayor said, I never heard of that. I said, you need to do your research on George Washington. What happened then? He didn't even know that. And this is this guy in the 60s. He's in his 60s.
Didn't even know that.
So the barbershop tenant guy that I go there, he spun me around. And you should have heard. I told him, I said, the churches need to stand up. We don't need to be wearing these masks. We don't need to be taking these shots. The mayor was just sitting there with his mouth open.
Mm. Oh, man.
Well, Coach,
You know, 20 years ago, 19 years ago, when I refused chemo and radiation, I was told not to listen to the anecdotal stories and that I would be dead if I listened. I would be dead in 5 years if I listened to the anecdotal stories.
Yeah.
Which is what I listened to because that's what God was asking me to do. God was asking me to follow him and not follow their science and their reasoning and stuff. And I'm 15 years past their prediction.
Amen. Listen, folks, let me make that. I'm sorry. I just got to make this point. Hey, folks, listen. You have faith in something. All of us have faith in something. I got up this morning in this nice hotel room that Roger Weaver got for Michelle and I for our anniversary. And I got up and it was dark. And I walked across the room and I reached for the light switch. I didn't pray the lights would come on. I didn't do a novena. I knew that when I hit that switch, the lights were going to come on. And if they wouldn't have come on, I'd have been surprised. Those lights always come on. What's wrong with that? Something wrong with that switch. And see, the guys who are your doctors, you have faith in them. You go to them and they tell you, if you take this chemotherapy, you'll be okay in 5 years. Or if you don't take it, you'll be dead in 5 years. And we put our faith in them. See, folks, don't go around thinking you don't have faith. It's a matter of what you have faith in. See, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can have faith in other things besides the Lord. You can have faith in government. You can have faith in your wife. You can have faith in, well, you can have faith in everything. You can have faith that the sun will come up tomorrow. You can have faith that you're going to have clothes on you. Do you understand this? They have taken they've taken the very essence of faith, which is belief. They've taken that very essence of it and they've made it religious. Faith is everywhere. I asked the kids the other day when I was speaking to Thomas Worthington High School, how many of you believe in George Washington? Well, they all raised their hands. I said, well, you're believing that by faith. You have no evidence George Washington existed. They said, yes, we do. They have the history books. I said, I got the freaking Bible. What do you mean? You understand the game they're playing on us? Do you understand? Faith is everywhere. Faith in Christ is illegal.
Coach?
Yep. Amen.
If you have faith in Christ, why aren't we spraying kids with DDT anymore?
That's right, brother. Huh? How come I don't get that smallpox vaccine anymore, that big old bubble that comes on my arm? You guys remember that, don't you? And so we have people right now who are having faith in vaccines, right? Wearing a mask. Same people telling you to wear the mask tell you to have faith in the vaccines that are coming. Vaccine. I'm walking all over what John's trying to do this morning. I'm with you, John. Go. Hey, listen. So, hey, Mike, go up and play that. I know John was heading towards it. That video of Flip Benham. Folks, listen. Sometimes your job is to deliver the mail, not to open it. And if we're going to be mailmen and we're going to deliver the mail, we cannot be responsible for how the one who receives the mail deals with it. That's not our responsibility. And you're going to be called, Bible says you're going to be brought before governors and kings as a testimony against them. We testify against them. The Bible says, don't think what you're going to say because it's going to be given to you at that same hour what you're going to say. Because it's not you saying, you're representing the Lord. You're going to come and speak. So this next clip, I know John's got ready, is Flip Benham going to the city council in the Ecclesia, going to the city council in Charlotte, North Carolina. And what? He's delivering the mail. He's not responsible for whether she reads the letter or not. Come on. Go ahead, John. Mike, play that real quick.
Miss Kinsey prayed a prayer. I don't know if that was in the name of Jesus or not. She covered pretty much a number of bases, and that was interesting. But there is one God, and his name is Jesus. And we're going to stand for him in this city. You started the ball rolling on February 28th with this whole transgender issue. You, Miss Roberts, purposefully decided that you were going to go ahead and do this. You are going to try and make transgenderism, sexual orientation, sexual identity now as somehow a civil right. Ma'am, you cannot make a moral wrong a civil right. You have no right to do that. It's a moral wrong. God has said, ma'am, I'm speaking.
Let him have his 3 minutes.
I'm speaking. And ma'am, don't interrupt me, please. You do that all the time.
No,
whenever I speak.
I interrupted the group to let you speak.
Ma'am, that's all right. They can say whatever they want to say, because if God doesn't fix this city, if God isn't the answer, if God isn't at the foundation, you're going to have bloodshed coursing down the corners of our streets, our schools, and our workplaces, and you're not going to have a police force big enough to stop it. Because when you sow bloodshed in the womb and the 3 abortion mills here in this city, you're going to reap it in the streets. And our God is a God of truth. And these things happen. And when you cast God behind your back, violence always comes in to replace the void. That's why we've got in our schools right now, we've got metal detectors and policemen, because they're trying to stop the gangs and violence and drugs that our kids are being turned over to. And now we got this transgenderism nonsense. Listen, it's not a sin to be black, but it is a sin to be a practicing homosexual. It is a sin. It is not a moral right. It is wrong. And you need to say so. And you've opened up the doors of hell on our city. You and this council. And you need to repent. I'd like to offer up a reward to you that if you'll repent right now in the name of Jesus, there will be peace returning to this city. Now, Miss Roberts, what will you do?
That's your 3 minutes, Mr. Benham. That's your 3 minutes.
Hey, listen to this. Flip Benham is Postmaster General in God's postal system. He delivered the mail. That's all his job is, to deliver the mail. Just got a couple minutes left. John, I've walked all over you today, but I think people are understanding exactly what it is that you're saying. So somebody help me wrap it up here.
Hey, Coach, I'm going there.
Hey, Coach, that's your 3 minutes?
That's perfect.
That's the best.
Hey, we got a couple minutes here.
Go ahead, John.
I was going to say, show that last one. One more example. I think this guy's only about 3 minutes.
Go ahead, Mike. Show it.
Cedric Benson. He's awesome. He's great.
He's now.
But I'm here this morning to talk about another history. His story. To me, yesterday was one of the most bizarre scenes I ever seen in this city. One of the most comedic scenes I ever witnessed in public. When I witnessed men with size 13, 14 shoes out there kissing each other in the mouth in front of little kids. It was just bizarre. It was like a freak scene going on. That's what I call it. Now, I know about the government and laws being made, but I got a law this morning that came out of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31. And it says, shall a man leave his mother and father and join to his wife, and they shall become one. And to have your kids out there yesterday, 6, 7 years old, holding flags, the Bible said, provoke not your children to riot, to riot. Proverbs 22 and verse 6-7. Train up a child in the right way he should go, and when he get old, he wouldn't depart. I'm so delighted and honored that God would have me bold enough to stand here and talk about this issue. Well, all the preachers was yesterday. You know what I mean? The only time gonna make them come out of them doors when they stop them tithing offering in your church. And you can't have Men's Day no more, and Youth Day, and Women's Day. I bet you're going to have a sign in your hand with Brother Ed then. You're going to be standing in front of the White House then. No, y'all got to leave us alone. You know what I mean? But somebody should have stood up yesterday. Ain't it funny? Everybody got a right but the Christian. So I'm here this morning to talk about my right, because I got a right too. I can barely say praise the Lord in public now. I might go to jail. I might threaten a lawsuit on the job. You can't tell a person to have a blessed day. Ain't it sad? Y'all, I got a text this morning, gonna share it, which I'm getting on out here. I got a text all the way from Washington, D.C., and I'm gonna go and break the news to y'all, and y'all in the back of me also. In 2 more years, in 2016, February the 9th, you won't be able to marry your partner that you play football with no more. You're gonna be able to marry your dog, you're gonna be able to marry your cat, you're gonna be able to marry your snake, you're gonna be able to marry your rat, your roaches. Some of y'all been with the roaches so long, you might well go and marry the roaches. He's been around your house so long, you're gonna be able to marry your broom, your mop. Ain't we going crazy in this world, y'all? Ain't we going crazy? I know Alabama made a lot of money yesterday. I know somebody else made a lot of money too.
Duracell ain't got no batteries on the shelf this morning. All the batteries gone. I tried to find a battery for my radio this morning. Couldn't find them nowhere. I said, what happened? They said, Rev, they bought all the batteries last night. They celebrated some kind of way. Just bought all the batteries. I don't know what they do to the batteries though, every day. I'm going to preach. I don't go there. You know what I mean? I don't know what they did with all the batteries. Now, Mr. Mayor, don't stop me in the hallway, you and your security team, and tell me I can't come here talking like I talk. Because you got a political job to do, I got a biblical job to do. And I'm going to do mine and you do yours. I'm going to stay in my lane and you stay in yours. I ain't bought by nobody. If I had to die doing what I'm going to do, I'm just fine. Y'all remember Peter and Paul and Silas were thrown in jail? I'm getting out of here, Mr. Austin. Don't you push that button. Remember Paul and Silas were thrown in jail? You remember the three Hebrew boys were thrown in the fiery furnace? You remember Daniel was thrown in the lion's den? They didn't say when he show up.
There you go, man.
They said we know he going to show up.
God's postal service. God's postal service. My, oh, my, oh, my. The ecclesia. Thus saith the Lord, if they silence the mouth of Christian men, they silence the mouth of the Lord. God bless you all. Hey, John, thanks, man. We'll get you in here again. I know some of you guys wanted to get in. I know you did. God bless you. Hey, yes, Thanksgiving tomorrow. I'm going to be here. You sleep in if you want. I'll be right here. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.